This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to corruption charges stemming from what prosecutors say was a lengthy pattern of using public office to enrich himself, family, and associates. The 69-year-old Republican entered pleas in response to a 22-count indictment during a brief appearance in federal court. Ryan allegedly received cash payments, gifts, vacation, and personal services while serving both as Secretary of State and Governor from 1991 until early 2003. Ralph Nader, the third-party candidate viewed by many Democrats as the spoiler of the 2000 election, has decided not to run on the Green Party ticket next year, a party spokesman said Tuesday. Nader, who garnered nearly 3% of the national vote in the last presidential election, has not ruled out running for president as an independent and plans to make a decision by January. Nader called party officials Monday to inform them of his decision. His reasons were not clear, according to a spokesman. Nader could not be reached Tuesday. A Nader spokeswoman said he was not immediately available for comment. Aftershocks rattled Central California Tuesday as crews tallied damage from a magnitude 6.5 earthquake that killed two people, injured dozens, and badly damaged the business district of the town of Paso Robles. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger toured the town, where both fatalities occurred when a historic clock tower collapsed, and declared a state of emergency in San Luis Obispo County. Prosecutors may examine Rush Limbaugh's medical records to determine whether he should be charged with doctor shopping for prescription painkillers, a judge ruled Tuesday. Limbaugh accused prosecutors of going after him for political reasons. Palm Beach Circuit Judge Jeffrey A. Winnikoff denied the conservative commentator's request to keep the records sealed, but did say prosecutors cannot make the records public. Limbaugh's attorney promised a prompt appeal. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Christmas just isn't the same for this small eastern Connecticut town that was once set aglow during the holidays by one man and his spirit. Mervyn Whipple, known as Mr. Christmas to the people of Killingly, has decided to pull the plug on his brilliant, gigantic holiday light display. There will be no lights this year. Partly it was the pricey bills, but mostly there isn't enough Christmas spirit, the once jolly Whipple said. Whipple had threatened to close down the display in recent years, but now he says it's official. Whipple's Christmas Wonderland is no more. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
There's bad news and good news on the electronic voting machine front. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Yet another study has found that these touchscreen machines are loaded with security flaws that open our elections to fraudulent manipulation, either by the owners and programmers of the machines or by partisan hackers. The state of Ohio commissioned a study of the vote-tallying computers of the four biggest corporations in this new and rapidly expanding industry. And the researchers found not one or two problems, but 57. Among the little hiccups was the discovery that the computers could be tricked to count the votes of any particular machine many times over, thus perverting the election. Another found that outsiders could hack into the system on election day and close down selected machines. People would still be voting on these machines, but their votes would not get counted. Ready for a little good news? Let's hear it for California Secretary of State, Kevin Shelley. Based on the findings of a public task force, he has now decided that all electronic voting machines used in his state must print out a paper receipt verifying the ballot of every voter and creating a paper trail that election officials can review if a recount is called. Instead of having to trust the manipulative world of corporate-owned cyberspace, Californians will have their votes counted in real space. The only hickey on Shelley's decision is that he postpones implementation to the 2006 election. Why not next year, when we're electing a president? The paper technology already exists, so let's do it now. Still, his move is a huge step toward voting integrity, and other states will likely follow suit. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, the national bill to require a paper trail by next year's election, H.R. 2239, now has 82 co-sponsors, including three top Republicans. To help pass it, contact this website, verifiedvoting.org.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance. Oh, God, I love that song. Don't you love the way they did it? With Siberian Express? Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I was close. Welcome to the Christmas program, the holiday program, the Hanukkah program, the winter solstice program, the... What have I left out? And actually, I guess in a way... No, it's not a New Year's program. We'll do that January 2nd. We will be off after tonight until January 2nd, Friday week. We hope. We hope we'll be back on January 2nd. We do have some elements to the program tonight that we hope you find entertaining, that we have spent tens and tens of dollars to put together. Next hour, we'll have a trivia question for you. The first correct answer wins an autographed copy of Hillary Clinton's Living History, and it comes courtesy of our Baltimore, Maryland Bureau Chief, Billy Shears, who, if I'm not mistaken, trudged through a blinding snowstorm at 10 o'clock at night to a mall where there was a book signing, and Hillary Clinton was there and got this signed and immediately overnighted it to us. And you can, if you look close, you can still see the bloodstains from Billy's fingers as he clawed his way through ice and snow to get it to the post office. I'm impressed. And it's yours, all right? Plus, the paranoid ramblings of Al Rushbo, George Bush's Chanukah message, a holiday greeting from Pickles, a reading from Luke, song parodies, and much, much more festive fun and frivolity. I'm assuming we have listeners tonight. This is the night before Christmas. A lot of people are out. A lot of people are out doing last-minute shopping, so... If you are listening tonight, bless your heart. A couple of quick items here. Lenny Bruce has been granted a posthumous pardon. Did you hear that? This is, we have two breaking news stories. This is the first one. Lenny Bruce was granted a posthumous pardon by New York Governor George Pataki. And that's for a nearly 40-year-old obscenity conviction that came because of his political commentary when he used words in a nightclub. And actually, it was a Cafe Agogo in Greenwich Village in 1964, where Lenny Bruce got up on stage and used about 100 different times he used so-called obscene words. Oh yeah, the F words, but he also used words that we use on this program. Practically every night. Undercover police detectives attended that program. He was arrested. They later testified against Bruce. The charge was giving an obscene performance. Can you believe that? He was convicted. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? He was convicted following a six-month trial. Jesus. He appealed. Bruce handled it. He mishandled it. And the rest of his life, a very short life, was misery, legal and financial problems. 2 years later, he died of a drug overdose. With the conviction still on the books, he was 37. George Pataki, the Republican governor of New York, called the decision, which is the first posthumous pardon in New York state history, quote, a declaration of New York's commitment to upholding the First Amendment, end quote. This was something that his ex-wife and daughter and more than two dozen First Amendment lawyers and entertainers, including Robin Williams and the Smothers Brothers and Penn and Teller and people like that, had campaigned for a long time to have this done. And Floyd Abrams, I'm sure you're familiar with his name, a leading First Amendment lawyer and a member of that campaign, said Pataki's decision, quote, is really a major step forward in recognizing the mistreatment of Lenny Bruce personally and of the First Amendment that Bruce defended. So Lenny Bruce, who... frankly, I thought was an absolute staggeringly important genius. All right, second breaking story. We have our first case of bovine spongiform encephalopathy. Mad cow disease has been discovered in the United States. It was found in a slaughterhouse in the state of Washington, traced to a farm about 40 miles southeast of Yakima, Washington. Agriculture secretary and total thug, anti-family farm person Ann Veneman made the announcement. She said that a single outbreak of the brain-wasting disease would represent almost no risk to people. Yeah, not to worry. And Veneman said, I plan to serve beef for my Christmas dinner. Well, that certainly restores my faith, right? People have died of this disease, as you know, wherever it has turned up. Ms. Veneman said, we remain confident in the safety of our food supply. Well, the Japanese aren't. They, upon hearing this, within a matter of, I believe, a couple of hours, Japan has banned all importation of beef from the United States, and South Korea is considering doing the same thing. Okay, I don't like breaking news stories because we don't do them very well. The pig man. The pig man. We're going to do this right away. As soon as my producer can get to the sound bites. As you probably know by now, Limbaugh said today he is appealing a Florida judge's order. The judge has ordered that Limbaugh's medical records be released to prosecutors. Prosecutors have had them in hand but have not looked at them until they got a ruling from the judge in order to make sure that they cross the T's and dot the I's. The pig man is squealing like, well, a pig. He said today he's going to appeal that order that releases his medical records to prosecutors, and he has blasted the probe as political payback. Now, here's a guy who has spent 5 years dealing in a criminal enterprise, street drugs. This is a guy who hired his maid to go cut deals in parking lots. And this whiny bastard is calling this payback. Now, not only is Limbaugh facing charges on doctor shopping, which is a felony in Florida, that's what the Republican-controlled Florida legislature and the Republican governor of Florida signed into law, doctor shopping, in order to secure drugs to feed your habit And it's a felony there. Not only is he involved in that, he's also involved in a drug conspiracy to obtain and distribute illegal drugs. He is also under investigation for violation of currency laws, money laundering. This pig man is going to go down. But Limbaugh blasted the ruling by the judge as a politically motivated invasion of privacy. Let's hear a little bit from Mr. Limbaugh on the judge's ruling against him today. Must be a commie liberal plot in Florida, somehow related to the Gore Bush, or was it Gore Clinton? He's a little bit too drug-addled here to get it straight. The recount 3 years ago, that's what this paranoid psycho would have you believe.
Now, the judge ruled against me on the privacy of my medical records, despite the fact that we claimed that the prosecution in this case did not follow the law as written by the Florida legislature in securing those medical records. Where have we heard this before?
Yeah.
That authorities in Florida did not follow the law as established by the Florida legislature. We've heard this in the Gore Clinton or Gore Bush recount.
Yeah.
When the Florida Supreme Court decided to change election law in the middle of the process in order to keep counting counties that had been counted over and over again.
Yeah, what does this have to do with your illegal drug use, pig man? Did Gore make you do it? Did Bill Clinton make you do it? Seems like Rush thinks if he just keeps asking the question, why do they want my medical records? Why do they want my medical records? Enough times, he'll figure it out. Maybe a ditto head will call in and explain it to him. Because you're being investigated, you moron, for yet another crime, doctor shopping.
Why do they need my medical records? I mean, if they've got a drug ring investigation going, and they've leaked all this to the press,
yeah,
and they've got a drug traffic investigation going, and they've leaked all this to the press, they've got a money laundering investigation, why do they need to invade my privacy to see my medical records?
To find out what other crime you're committing.
Drug ring, drug trafficking,
money laundering. Yeah. Yeah.
Now they need my medical records, my private medical records.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To find out?
Yes!
If I've committed a crime called doctor shopping?
Bingo, Rush! Bingo, you got it! Hey! B-I-N-G-O, B-I-N-G-O. On his sacred privacy rights, the oxymoron, Rush, but death by temptation, Limbaugh once again invokes Bill Clinton. Of course, keep in mind, having oral sex with your girlfriend isn't a felony. Rush?
Why would any of us want such records made public, even if they prove our innocence?
Our?
It's no. Not up to me to prove my innocence by giving up my right to privacy.
No.
I have to give up my right to privacy now in order for the state, who is in effect just casting a line out there,
yeah,
hoping to hook something.
You!
They got to invade my privacy to do this. We still haven't seen Bill Clinton's medical records, have we?
Oh, my God, this is too good. I have to give up my right to privacy now. Look, you moron dunderhead. You're the one that supported Bush. You're the one that supported USA Patriot Act. You've already given up your right to privacy, you brain-dead freak, and you're going to go to prison. Maybe. Now, as he works himself into full-tilt paranoia, Rush blames this on, no surprise here, the Democrats! Yes, it's a Democratic plot! Yeah, the Florida legislature that wrote these laws. Democrats! We don't know which ones, but here he is.
The Democrats in this country still cannot defeat me in the arena of political ideas. And so now they're trying to do so in the court of public opinion and
the legal system. Yes!
I guess it's payback time.
Aww.
And since I'm not running for office,
yeah,
can't get to me that way.
Yeah.
They're going to seek the occasion of this event in my life to see, to find out if they can do any damage.
They! The ambiguous they! They're after me! Oh, my God, they're coming through the vents! They're coming under the door in my studio! The Democrats! It's not me! I'm not a junkie! I haven't broken laws! It's them!
The spotlights. Snowflakes like the dust in the sun. It's
It's Christmas in prison. There'll be music tonight. I'll probably get homesick. I'll love you. Good night. Wait a while, eternity.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Show.
Ta-da! We have caught somebody doing something right. Yes, indeed, folks. Dennis Kucinich. Dennis Kucinich has introduced a bill into the United States Congress called the Benjamin Franklin True Patriot Act. And Dennis Kucinich's law would repeal sections of the USA Patriot Act that authorize sneak and peek searches, warrantless library, medical, and financial record services, and the detention and deportation of non-citizens without meaningful judicial review. Beyond the Patriot Act, the bill also cements the fundamental right of attorney-client privilege and restores transparency in the Department of Justice and Homeland Security by revoking FOIA, Freedom of Information Act secrecy orders, along with other important provisions. As Dennis Kucinich said, and I quote, after September 11th, Americans did not authorize the deterioration of the first, 4th, 5th, 6th, 8th, and 14th Amendments.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Father's Talk Radio. It's Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Paul is calling from Poconos, Pennsylvania. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Mike. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. If I was doing any better, I don't know what I'd do with myself.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was down at the local convenience store yesterday and having my typical hot dog and Dr. Pepper for lunch.
Yeah, it's a good lunch. I like that kind
of
lunch.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's cheap, you know?
Right.
And I turned on the Pig Man.
Yeah?
And he was talking about Gaddafi and giving up his weapons of mass destruction and all this and the reasons. And he actually had one interesting comment, which I kind of agree with, is basically what he said yesterday about Gaddafi. The reason why he did what he did is he wants to get American oil companies back into Libya, which I think is probably the reason. Let's just put it there. Today I'm down there enjoying another tasty hot dog, and unfortunately they're out of Dr. Pepper. I had to have a Coke today.
Oh, damn.
But all the Pig Man did was blast Dean and Dean's comments on his thoughts as to why Libya did this. Not once did he mention oil and American oil companies. So it's amazing how that man twists and distorts and lies and leaves stuff out just to smear Democrats.
Yeah, he complains. Yeah, he does. And it's a Democrat's fault that he's being investigated.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah,
I
money laundering, that. Drug usage, and doctor shopping. It's Democrats' fault, right?
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I worked for a company called Fiat back in the late 70s. I was an engineer with them here in the United States. And in those days, Fiat Motor was one-third owned by the country of Libya. So I worked for the man Gaddafi for a few years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Prior to that, I was an engineer for Renault, the French car company.
You know, I was
and in those days, Renault was a is and still is owned by the French government. And in those days, the French government was predominantly communist. So I worked for communist government. I worked for Gaddafi, and I listened to you. Do I have to worry? Do I have to lock my doors at night?
Oh, I'd do more than lock your doors. You know, when I was a kid growing up, Paul, we were told that Fiat stood for fix it again, Tony.
They were lovely. Hey, look, let me tell you something. After working for a French car company for years, going to Fiat, it was marvelous.
Yeah?
They were wonderful cars.
That's great.
They were good cars. So enjoy the show, guy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have a good holiday,
thank
man.
Thank you, Paul.
We'll see you next year. Bye-bye.
I hope so. I hope so. Take care, Paul. Fix it again, Tony. Ah. 800-TALK-YES. Robin is calling from West Virginia. Hey, Robin, from Victor, West Virginia.
Yeah, hey, Mike. Real quick, like, you know, Rush does need to watch out what he says on the air or anywhere else, because you got to remember, Martha Stewart got indicted for saying she didn't do it.
That's true. That's very true.
But I
swear to God, call it Schadenfreude, call it anything you want to. I love this. I want to see this bastard spin and twist in the wind as Haldeman or Ehrlichman or Mitchell or Dean or somebody said all those nasty years ago. I want to see him twist in the wind, and ultimately they're going to get him. You know, ultimately they're going to get him.
Just good old-fashioned Greek hubris tragedy, you know.
Oh, I love it.
The whole gang. You know.
Oh, my God, I love it.
There's a lot of fun in having a sideline seat for this.
Yes, there is indeed. And I wonder what they're going to get Sean Hannity on.
Let's see. What's the old saying? Dead girl or a live boy?
A live boy, right. Yeah. One of the two. But the real reason you called in.
Yeah, I've got you a Christmas carol.
You have a Christmas? Wait a second. How long is it?
I honestly don't know. A minute or so.
All right, I'll tell you what then. Let me put you on hold, and we will come back and do it after the break, because we have a break coming up here, and the last thing I want to do, Robin, is have you in the middle of singing and have to step in.
The rest of the country, it's the last thing they want to hear, actually.
I'll put you on hold. We'll come right back. All right, folks, quick break. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The mood is right. The spirit's up. We're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here. That only comes this time of year.
High places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Mike Malloy.
And this is Kathy Bay.
And on behalf of everyone here at IE America Radio, we want to wish you a happy holiday season.
And a peaceful new year.
States are moving ahead on energy reform, and Minnesota is one of the leaders. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Critics say the federal government has done little to promote solar, wind, and other renewable energy sources, but a number of states are making progress. Minnesota is a leading example, according to David Morris of the nonprofit Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis.
Minnesota gets 10% of its transportation fuel from inside of Minnesota from crops.
That renewable fuel is ethanol, and Morris says most of it comes from farmer-owned cooperatives, so the state's farm economy benefits from the cleaner-burning fuel. Minnesota has also passed what's called a renewable portfolio standard. It requires electric utilities to produce a growing share of their power from renewable sources such as wind.
And we have established a renewable portfolio standard, so we expect to double and triple the amount of wind-generated electricity that will be coming out of the western part of Minnesota in the next couple of years. And we have passed incentives such that we encourage local ownership.
Morris says farmers don't just lease part of their land to the utilities like they do in most other states.
In Minnesota, those farmers are owning those wind turbines, and they're getting twice as much because they're owning it, and after 10 years when the system is paid off, they will get 25 times as much in terms of revenue.
Morris credits Minnesota for being a leader on renewable energy, but he says there's lots more to do. His organization is pushing for tax incentives to boost cleaner cars, greener buildings, and other ways to cut energy waste and promote renewable sources. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
At your nose. Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
27 before the hour. Now, right on the heels of Nat King Cole, we have Robin in Victor, West Virginia, who is...
no replacement. I'm sorry for the lousy phone connection, by the way.
Well, I thought that buzz was something going off in my head, and I thought, no, I stopped doing that years ago. But anyway...
It's the two tin cans and the string from the fine folks at Verizon.
That's very true. Now, you have a Halliburton Christmas song?
Yes, I do.
Okay, well...
I've actually got a couple more. I don't want to do them. You know what? We'd love to hear you and Kathy sing.
Yeah, well, you may sometime.
I'll email them.
Yeah, probably not in this lifetime, but you may hear that. No, will you send us one? We'll be happy to sing it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm going to do this.
Okay, here we go.
I hate myself later.
Do you need any kind of an introduction?
It's to the tune of Winter Wonderland.
Winter Wonderland. Yeah. All right.
Weapons of mass destruction were a fictitious construction. There are none to be found, but there's oil underground for Halliburton's profiteering scam. In the mess halls, we got vermin. Fuel contracts have a squirmin'. But there's wealth to be had down in Baghdad for Halliburton's filthy little scam. In the middle, we can build a green zone and pretend that everything is fine. You'll ask, aren't you worried? We'll say no, sir, because no one we know is on the firing line. Later on, we'll conspire and decide who to hire, for phase two of the scheme is a puppet regime for Halliburton's profiteering scam.
That's great. That's great. Absolutely, Robin. You are too talented by a factor of about six. You have another one, I believe, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I'll make this one real quick.
Now, which one is this?
This is Good King Wenceslas.
Good King Wenceslas, one of my favorites. Let her rip.
Okay. Good King Double, you looked out at the greed and thieving, thought that's what it's all about, no fun breaking even. Gladly do my cronies give for a chance to profit. Kenny Boy walks free today, despite the government audit.
That's very good.
I'll save you the two good ones.
All right, send them on. I don't know that we'll do them tonight, but maybe we'll do them January 2nd if we're
you
here.
You guys have a great holiday vacation, and don't worry about the misery in the future.
Hey, thanks, Robin. I appreciate it. Back at you too.
Merry Christmas.
All right, sir. Take care. Merry Christmas to you. I think it's time for the Christmas message from Pickles, don't you think? Maybe we should do, we captured this. This went out on closed circuit radio to Christian broadcasting stations. No, actually, that was, no, this one, how do we get this one, Kathy? It came, this was just a general announcement, White House announcement. Right, okay, let's hear from Laura Pickles Bush, the First Lady of the United States.
My fellow Americans, this Christmas the President and I will spend our holy days in the White House behind bolted doors, comfy cozy in the knowledge that the Secret Service will pick off any nosy member of the public who tries to get within 50 feet of our lovely taxpayers' tree. For the past several years, we have kicked off the baby Jesus' birthday by sipping an oversized mug of my fabulous cocoa, while we honor our Yuletide tradition of leaving messages on our daughter's voicemails telling them at which liquor store Santa gave them a store credit. I'm told that every Christmas, Jenna and Barbara enjoy their traditional spirited competition of downing alternating red and green shot glasses filled with things that, as a concerned mother, I stopped asking about a long time ago. Every American family celebrates Christmas in its own special way. That is what makes our country so wonderful, its commitment to celebrate and honor diversity. What is important is that no matter how we celebrate Christmas, we are all honoring the birth of our Lord and Savior, the only path that leads away from the smoldering brimstone furnaces of an everlasting hell. During the 8 years that we will be in office, the President and I want to make it a holy day's tradition to spend thousands of taxpayer dollars on decorations the American public will only briefly glimpse on television. So from our house, which you'll never see, to your house, which we honestly don't care about, this is Laura Pickles Bush wishing almost all of you happy holy days.
Actually, I think that came to us courtesy of BettyBowers.com. Great religious website on the internet, BettyBowers.com. For all of you who are true believers in the everlasting furnaces of hell, you might want to go to BettyBowers.com. From Sharon, hi Mike, from the state that brings you mad cow disease, and it's Yakima. I think I said Yakima later. From the state that brings you mad cow disease, last night, Cheney, this is a Cheney sighting. Cheney was in Washington State for a fundraiser for Nethercutt, a Republican who is challenging our Senator Patty Murray. He arrived under stealth guard about 7 p.m., and I'm sure his physician, you know, the one we taxpayers foot the bill for, 24-hour-a-day care, there was a crowd of probably 200 people protesting Cheney's visit. A few, maybe 50, were for the Republican flag-waving side. The other 200 were for our side. It was very peaceful, but a lot of cool signs like, "Pull out now, Dick! Give war a chance! Give the pretzel another chance! Anyone else for president? Just dicking around, Americans, thanks for the $87 billion. Sorry about your kids," and things like that. Anyway, this was not a well-advertised visit, and on this busy street corner, boasting the most lucrative mall in the state, Bellevue Square, at 7 p.m. there was much camaraderie, passing out of information and support from the passersby. The people there were pretty savvy, but many of them had not heard of your show. WTF? Yeah, indeed. Anyway, I was pleased to give them your website to stream the show. Love your show. It is amazing and keeps me going along with news from Democracy Now! We must keep hope alive even in the darkest times. Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. Thank you, Sharon. We've talked about libertarians on this program, and we have quite a few that listen to us. I think left libertarians are kind of weird, which makes them kind of cool and groovy. I think our good friend who does the White Rose Society website, Ben Birch, is a left libertarian, isn't he? Right libertarians are just freaks. I mean, they're crazy. They're crazy. Leonard Peikoff, or Peikoff, P-E-I-K-O-F-F, wrote a thing. He is the founder of the Ayn Rand Institute, which promotes libertarian philosophy of Ayn Rand. I know a lot of you have read Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. There's another freak. Sorry, Ayn Rand to me was just like... Anyway, he writes the following. This is very interesting. Celebrate capitalism with joy, not shame. Christmas in America is an exuberant display of human ingenuity, capitalist productivity, and the enjoyment of life. Yet all of these are castigated as materialistic. The real meaning of the holiday, we are told, is assorted nativity tales and altruistic injunctions like love your neighbor that no one takes seriously. In fact, Christmas as we celebrate it today is a 19th century American invention. The freedom and prosperity of post-Civil War America created the happiest nation in history. The result was a desire to celebrate, to revel in the goods and pleasures of life on Earth. Christmas, which was not a federal holiday until 1870, became the leading American outlet for this feeling. Historically, people have always celebrated the winter solstice as the time when the days begin to lengthen, indicating the earth's return to life. Ancient Romans, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. By the 4th century, the pagans were worshiping the god of the sun on December 25th, and the Christians came to a decision. If you can't stop them, join them! They claimed that the date of Jesus' birth was... They claimed December 25th was the date of Jesus' birth and usurped the solstice holiday for their church. Even after the Christians stole Christmas, they were ambivalent about it. The holiday was inherently a pro-life festival of earthly renewal, but the Christians preached renunciation, sacrifice, and concern for the next world, not this one. Then came the major developments of the 19th century, capitalism, which would be industrialization, urbanization, the triumph of science, all of it leading to easy transportation, efficient mail delivery, the widespread publishing of books and magazines, new inventions making life comfortable and exciting, and the rise of entrepreneurs who understood that the way to make a profit was to produce something good and sell it to a mass market. For the first time, the giving of gifts became a major feature of Christmas. Early Christians denounced gift-giving as a Roman practice, and Puritans called it diabolical. But Americans were not to be deterred. Thanks to capitalism, there was enough wealth to make gifts possible, a great productive apparatus to advertise them and make them available cheaply, and a country so content that men wanted to reach out to their friends and express their enjoyment of life. The whole country took with glee to giving gifts on an unprecedented scale. All the best customs of Christmas, from carols to trees to spectacular decorations, have their roots in pagan ideas and practices. These customs were greatly amplified by American culture as the product of reason, science, business, worldliness, and egoism. In other words, the pursuit of happiness. America's tragedy is that its intellectual leaders have typically tried to replace happiness with guilt by insisting that the spiritual meaning of Christmas is religion and self-sacrifice for Tiny Tim or his equivalent. But the spiritual must start with recognizing reality. Life requires reason, selfishness, capitalism. That is what Christmas should celebrate. And really, underneath all the pretense, that is what it does celebrate. It is time to take the Christ out of Christmas and turn the holiday into a guiltlessly egoistic
pro-reason, this-worldly, commercial celebration. Signed, Leonard Peikoff, founder of the Ayn Rand Institute.
Take Christ out of Christmas. All right. All right. Great stuff. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
You had some good talent on tonight. That was
great. We just got started, pal.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good, pretty good. By the way, before you had some of the talent, there was a fellow that called in, and he was talking about he plugged Coca-Cola on here. And I'm not sure if he knows it, but there's definitely a boycott of Coca-Cola going.
Well, they've
been murdering people for a while.
Right. He said he had to drink Coke because they were out of ROC Coca-Cola. He drinks RC Coca-Cola. Here in the South, we have Coca-Cola and we have RC Coca-Cola. That's how we say it.
You mean Royal Crown?
Yeah, we call it. We're stupid down here, so we call it.
No, I remember. Oh, shoot, I lived in St. Louis.
Well, that's not the South.
I'm saying initials.
No. We have two drinks down here. You have Coca-Cola.
E. Cummins and.
You have Coca-Cola, or you have ROC Coca-Cola. And then you have Orange Coca-Cola, and you have Great Neon.
It's really Royal Crown, right?
Well, yeah, but everything down here is Coca-Cola to us because we live in the South.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, if it's getting that bad, because I remember
we
had six different kinds of root beer. You know.
What you get on a summer day here, you get an ROC Coca-Cola and a moon pie, and you pour peanuts into the ROC, and then you kick back, and God is in heaven, and all is right with the world. But that's not why you called.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. Actually, we were hearing, of course, about Halliburton and doing the ripoffs. I think the singer that just ended pretty well covered my bases
yes.
with that. He did a fine job with that. By the way, I guess you know that Bush is still taking credit for the capture of Saddam,
yeah.
even though the Kurds did it.
Yeah, right. Well, that's sure. Of course, he is.
Now, apparently, I didn't see it myself, but apparently the White House is claiming, well, you see, we didn't want to give credit to the Kurds because they might get assassinated. You know, they'd be killed by the Saddam's loyalists, right?
Right.
And, well, I think the Kurds have been holding them off pretty well for a long time.
And the Turks.
Yeah, and it's pretty, you know, it's not to spoil for war, but, you know, these people have been, it's time to calm things down out there rather than... exacerbate them. And Bush just taking the credit is just, it's bizarre. It's such sloppy foreign policy.
But it's George Bush. It's not essential.
Even professional.
No,
you know,
but
Mike, it's just not even professional.
I understand, but it's the essential George Bush.
Well, if he's going to insult the nation, ruin the economy by his, you know, foreign policy is the economy. If everybody hates the country, then nobody wants to buy your stuff. It doesn't matter how good your product is. Nobody wants to buy it because it comes from, you know, this place that insults and invades.
It's going to be interesting to see. Will be the stock market tomorrow with this report of mad cow disease now discovered in the state of Washington and. Japanese announcement that they are refusing all American beef, and South Korea will very quickly follow suit. So it'll be fun in a macabre sort of way to see what happens to the American Stock Exchange tomorrow.
Oh, well, you know, that was one of the reasons why I called, too. What Jubilee is?
Yeah, that's the forgiveness of debt.
Yeah, and right now... Probably the best way to resolve much of the world's problems. I think I heard historically almost every war that's ever been has been about trade.
Yeah.
And so it usually involves debts that can't get paid.
What a wonderful thing if all these debts, especially to the emerging nations, the so-called third world nations, if it were canceled, most of it is debt service anyway. And most of it, well, maybe not most of it, but a huge chunk of it. And when you have to pay back debt and deny your people health insurance and education and public health, vaccinations and that sort of thing, you are asking for trouble. But that's what we've always done. I strongly believe in the idea of Jubilee.
Sure. And it makes sense, you know. I mean, frankly, it's nonviolent direct action.
And it works. Listen, I've got to leave it there tonight, David. We're running on a tight schedule, and I thank you for checking in, pal. I hope you have a good holiday. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
The first. Here we go. on this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Free Radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, next hour, after the break, we'll have a trivia question for you. The first correct answer wins an autographed copy of Hillary Clinton's Living History, courtesy of our Baltimore, Maryland Bureau Chief, Billy Shears, who sent it to us to give away. All right? And, well, we've got some really weird stuff coming up next hour and the third hour, so stick around. Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Hey, doing fine.
Hey, I just had a couple suggestions for you as you prepare for your new life in America's newest class, the idle poor.
Right.
So suggestion number one, get used to soup and beans.
Soup and beans, all right.
Yeah. Don't discount the tastiness of stale, moldy bread.
Stale, moldy bread. You can always cut the mold off.
Well, yeah, but there's lingering aftertaste, you know.
That's true.
Buy extra Alka-Seltzer for the gas and bloating.
Yeah, gonna need that.
Right. Go ahead and max out the credit cards before cutting them up because you can't. Squeeze blood from a turnip.
That's right.
Right.
Just get what you can get.
Yeah. Stock up on boxes for your new home.
Boxes.
Yeah.
Oh, boxes. Yes, indeed.
Right. Exactly. Okay, and finally get used to cold soapless showers as a reminder of life in Bush's America.
Cold soapless showers?
You
oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, my God. Well, I, I've certainly been here before and will be here again, I guess. I mean, you never know, you know?
Well, that's also in honor of the 2.1 million Americans that are losing their unemployment.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. It's just great fun being alive in 2003, isn't it?
I tell you.
You know, it's how's your search for work coming, Mark?
Nada.
Nothing yet, huh?
No.
Yeah.
So these are lessons learned after almost 3 years of being unemployed. So.
Have you thought about a foreign country, maybe, or you know, Mexico? I'm serious. Have you thought about? Because we have.
Well, not to be too morbid, but I'm thinking your 357 might come in more handy.
Ah. No. You got to go to a foreign country.
I didn't say how I'd use that.
I know. That's the part that worries me. But living in a foreign country, of course, it wouldn't be foreign after you got there. You'd be the foreigner. You see how that works. Like the first time I went to Canada, I said, look at this. Look at all these foreigners. And it occurred to me, never mind.
Well,
but we've thought about that.
Yeah. The problem is that I'm so poor now, I'd have to swim, so I may not make it.
Mark, Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network, copyright 2003.
Hi, this is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damschutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York.
Ralph Nader, the third-party candidate viewed by many Democrats as the spoiler of the 2000 election, has decided not to run on the Green Party ticket next year, a party spokesman said Tuesday. Nader, who garnered nearly 3% of the national vote in the last presidential election, has not ruled out running for president as an independent and plans to make a decision by January. Nader called party officials Monday to inform them of his decision. His reasons were not clear, according to a spokesman. Nader could not be reached Tuesday. A Nader spokeswoman said he was not immediately available for comment. Prosecutors may examine Rush Limbaugh's medical records to determine whether he should be charged with doctor shopping for prescription painkillers, a judge ruled Tuesday. Limbaugh accused prosecutors of going after him for political reasons. Palm Beach Circuit Judge Jeffrey A. Winnikoff denied the conservative commentator's request to keep the records sealed, but did say prosecutors cannot make the records public. Limbaugh's attorney promised a prompt appeal. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to corruption charges stemming from what prosecutors say was a lengthy pattern of using public office to enrich himself, family, and associates. The 69-year-old Republican entered pleas in response to a 22-count indictment during a brief appearance in federal court. Ryan allegedly received cash payments, gifts, vacation, and personal services while serving both as Secretary of State and Governor from 1991 until early 2003. Aftershocks rattled Central California Tuesday as crews tallied damage from a magnitude 6.5 earthquake that killed two people, injured dozens, and badly damaged the business district of the town of Paso Robles. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger toured the town, where both fatalities occurred when a historic clock tower collapsed, and declared a state of emergency in San Luis Obispo County. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Arthur Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Gary and Carrie Clark haven't forgotten their second Christmas together. He knew she wanted bathroom accessories, so he wrapped a couple of gifts and waited. The toilet seat and towel rack didn't go over too well. Gary thought he was being thoughtful, saying it was something she can always use day after day. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Carrie Clark admits that she wanted a new toilet seat a decade ago because there was a crack in the old one. She just didn't think she'd get one gift wrapped. She said, "What kind of a man gives you a toilet seat for Christmas?" For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
There's bad news and good news on the electronic voting machine front. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Yet another study has found that these touchscreen machines are loaded with security flaws that open our elections to fraudulent manipulation, either by the owners and programmers of the machines or by partisan hackers. The state of Ohio commissioned a study of the vote-tallying computers of the four biggest corporations in this new and rapidly expanding industry. And the researchers found not one or two problems, but 57. Among the little hiccups was the discovery that the computers could be tricked to count the votes of any particular machine many times over, thus perverting the election. Another found that outsiders could hack into the system on election day and close down selected machines. People would still be voting on these machines, but their votes would not get counted. Ready for a little good news? Let's hear it for California Secretary of State, Kevin Shelley. Based on the findings of a public task force, he has now decided that all electronic voting machines used in his state must print out a paper receipt, verifying the ballot of every voter and creating a paper trail that election officials can review if a recount is called. Instead of having to trust the manipulative world of corporate-owned cyberspace, Californians will have their votes counted in real space. The only hickey on Shelley's decision is that he postpones implementation to the 2006 election. Why not next year, when we're electing a president? The paper technology already exists, so let's do it now. Still, his move is a huge step toward voting integrity, and other states will likely follow suit. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, the national bill to require a paper trail by next year's election, H.R. 2239, now has 82 co-sponsors, including three top Republicans. To help pass it, contact this website, verifiedvoting.org.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want
a
to
different...
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Minutes past the hour. From our buddy Jim Turr, Blue Canyon Productions out of New Mexico, he sends his best wishes and he says, I also want to share three things I found interesting and illuminating lately. First, a Talmudic quote via David Mamet, which I heard on NPR the other day, paraphrased. If you are walking home and see a fire in the distance, you are not allowed to hope it's not your house. In other words, that it's someone else's house that's on fire. Second, a recent note from a friend in Texas on an issue which gets more real for me every day, which I'll get to in a second. And finally, a story I was reminded of lately, told about Fiorello LaGuardia. Best wishes, Jim. Dear friends, I once asked the oldest person I've ever known, Ms. Mary Box, who was 106, what her secret to longevity was. She was a very honest and sincere woman, a few words. After taking a moment to think about it, she slowly said, well, I know there's no one more thankful than me. I feel thankful for even the smallest things each and every day. I'm constantly saying thanks. That's been several years ago now, and I have to say that the contemplation of her sentiments, her being, has enriched my life greatly. In trying to practice what Ms. Box preached, I've discovered that consciously noticing every day as much as possible what I feel thankful for, and in turn expressing my gratitude, I feel even more thankful and alive. I am thankful for food and water, hunger and thirst, air and the fact that breath requires no thought. To my surprise, consciously being thankful for even the smallest things, as Miss Box put it, has filled me significantly. Many times I've heard people say that they'd only want to live a long life if they were healthy and alert. I've come to believe that gratitude raises the quality of life daily, moment to moment, and possibly prolongs it at the same time. The fact that you have received this note means that in some way, no matter how big or small, you have stirred gratitude within me. Thank you. I can't overlook the fact that perhaps you've helped prolong my life. You've definitely raised the quality of it. I wish you the joy of gratitude. Thanks, Miss Box. From Connie. And that was addressed to Jim. And finally this. One bitterly cold night in January of 1935, the mayor of New York, Fiorello LaGuardia, turned up at a night court that served the poorest ward in the city. LaGuardia dismissed the judge for the evening and took over the bench himself. Within a few minutes, a tattered old woman was brought before him, charged with stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her, her daughter was sick, and her two grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper, from whom the bread was stolen, refused to drop the charges. The man told the mayor, "It's a real bad neighborhood, Your Honor. She's got to be punished to teach other people around here a lesson." LaGuardia sighed. He turned to the woman and said, "I've got to punish you. The law makes no exceptions. $10 or 10 days in jail." But even as he pronounced the sentence, the mayor was already reaching into his pocket. He extracted a bill and tossed it into his famous hat, saying, "Here is the $10 fine, which I now remit, and furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a town where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant." The following day, New York City newspapers reported that $47.50 was turned over to a bewildered woman who had stolen a loaf of bread to feed her starving grandchildren. 50 cents of that amount was contributed by the grocery store owner himself, while some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and New York City policemen, each of whom had just paid 50 cents for the privilege of doing so, gave the mayor a standing ovation. I like that. Thanks, Jim. I like that. Now, we've got something for you here. Do we have... we have time for Nick in Warsaw's Little Drummer Boy. You remember Nick in Warsaw, Ohio, called in a few nights ago and sang for us a little, his version of The Little Drummer Boy. Only it's... What is it, Kathy? Open your mic. Little Rummy Boy. Okay, about Rumsfeld, I guess. All right. Upon hearing it, our wizard-like webmaster, Mark Marshall, of MaximumInteractive.com, had one of those epiphanous moments. A light bulb went off over Mark Marshall's head. Now, Mark, in addition to being the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com, is also a very accomplished musician and artist. Does a lot of things. So he put this together, and we will now share with you Nick in Warsaw, Ohio's version of Little Drummer Boy, with accompaniment by Mark Marshall.
Rummy told me Iraq we must bomb, and I believed him because I was so dumb. Though Saddam had dick to do with 9/11. We have to find his weapons of mass destruction, his neurotoxins, his uranium. Oops, there ain't none. Rummy spun some crap and found a reason. He said we bombed Iraq to give him freedom, along with a big contract to Halliburton. Rebuild what we wrecked with our treasury funds and the lives of our sons, because it now all belongs to the corporations. We couldn't find those weapons, not even one. But we stumbled into a hole, and there was Saddam. He is the boogeyman we can blame it all on. And we will just forget he was one of our pawns. We gave him the guns, then we shoveled him funds to oppress his nation. So now our president is smirking with pride. He'll find those terrorists in the holes where they hide. He's climbing in the polls, but we ain't satisfied. 'Cause we've seen him on the job with his razor-sharp mind. And try as he might, there's one hole he can't find. It's in his behind.
Now I can imagine Nick in Warsaw. And I don't have Nick in Warsaw, Ohio's email address. I was going to let him know that we had this. Imagine if Nick is listening, and all of a sudden he hears his a cappella song set to that kind of, once again, Tim Burton-ish kind of music. That was great. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and also to Nick in Warsaw. Little Rummy Boy. God. All right. What else we got here? Norman Solomon, every year for about the past 10 years, has established what he calls the PU Pulitzer Prizes for 2003. They were established more than a decade ago to give recognition to the stinkiest media performance of the year. And this year, Norman has consulted, as he always does, with Jeff Cohen, founder of the media watch group FAIR, to kind of sift through the large volume of entries. And he's come up with several here that we would like to share with you. These are the P. Pulitzer Prizes for the foulest media performances of 2003. The media mogul of the year is Lowry Mays, the CEO of Clear Channel. While some broadcasters care about their programming, the CEO of America's biggest radio company with more than 1,200 stations admits he cares only about the ads. The Clear Channel boss told Fortune magazine in March, "If anyone said we were in the radio business, it wouldn't be someone from our company. We're not in the business of providing news and information. We're not in the business of providing well-researched music. We're simply in the business of selling our customers' products." The Liberating Iraq Prize goes to Tom Brokaw, interviewing a military analyst as U.S. jet bombers headed to Baghdad on the first day of the Iraq War. NBC anchor Tom Brokaw declared, "Admiral McGinn, one of the things that we don't want to do is to destroy the infrastructure of Iraq, because in a few days we're going to own that country." The More You Watch, the Less You Know Prize goes to Fox News Channel. You all know about this one. According to University of Maryland study, most Americans who get their news from commercial TV harbored at least one of three misperceptions about the Iraq War: that weapons of mass destruction had been discovered in Iraq, that evidence closely linking Iraq to al-Qaeda had been found, or that world opinion approved of the U.S. invasion. Fox News viewers were the most confused about key facts, with 80% embracing at least one of those misperceptions. The study found a correlation between being misinformed and being supportive of the war. And, of course, the Clear It with the Pentagon Award goes to CNN. A month after the invasion of Iraq began, CNN executive Ethan Jordan admitted on his network's Reliable Sources show that CNN had allowed U.S. military officials to help screen its on-air analysts. We have a few more. Stick around.
Little Hooters girl, she's not the dum-dum. She brings cold beer to me and poured us all some. A birthday song they sang with mighty big lungs. Across the bar they had her rumpetite hum. Double bee bun, had her boots done. Then she smiled at me out of a big tun. Me and my chums. Look at them guns.
boots done.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get Union Maine clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here now and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com. The world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
We here at IE America Radio Network make sure that our listeners are informed about many different subjects in many different ways. And this is why we partner with Earthwatch Radio to bring you environmental research and related topics in concise two-minute reports that are scientifically accurate, clearly written, and played at the bottom of every hour here on IE America Radio Network. But did you know that you can get even more great information about the environment and related issues at www.ewradio.org? This website contains an enormous amount of information on a wide range of subjects that concern science and the environment. Earthwatch Radio gives special attention to the global climate change, the Great Lakes, and the oceans, and it's all information that you need to know about. So get informed by going to www.ewradio.org and listen to the Earthwatch Radio two-minute program at the bottom of every hour, every day, here on IE America Radio Network. It's our world. Let's learn how to take care of it. If you can't listen to the Earthwatch Radio program on your radio station, you can listen to it on our website's live streaming at www.ieamericaradio.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
The Flying Monkey Right. It's more of Mike Malloy.
Thank you.
emailed in, wanted to know if we had anything by from the new Moody Blues Christmas album. That's Justin Hayward. It's amazing what we can pull out of thin air on this program. I swear to God, that's for you, Paul. King David, our Woodstock Nation Bureau Chief.
Hello.
Hey, David.
And rather interesting that you finished that pull out of with thin air.
Uh-huh.
I realized the temptation was there to say something else.
But I know. But
I'll let that go because this is the Mike Malloy Show, not the Mike Church Show.
There you go.
The thing is, I wanted to mention briefly about Lenny Bruce, a couple of quick things. Mm-hmm. You remember the movie Lenny, right?
Yes, I do. Dustin Hoffman?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you remember the scene where he's being tried on the charge that he just got the pardon on, and he's discussing it with his attorneys in the washroom?
In the bathroom, right.
Do you realize who the person playing the black actor, or the black lawyer, was?
I do not.
I could not believe this until I checked the credits myself. Clarence Thomas.
The Supreme Court Justice?
One and the same.
No.
Yep.
Well, how could that be? I mean, did he have an acting career?
This would have been very early. This would have been about the time that he would have just gotten out of, I think, law school, wouldn't it have been? It was 74, wasn't it?
That's when the movie came out, yeah. Are you sure it's a lot of people are named Clarence Thomas.
No, I realize that's not a particularly odd name.
Right. That's like Joe Smith or Harry Jones, Clarence Thomas, What do you think?
But it most certainly looked like him and sounded like him, too.
Well, I'm going to have to rent a movie now. I'm going to have to go rent it. Because if it's true, it's remarkable. But I'd never heard anything that Fat Tony Scalia's stepchild was also an actor. That would be Clarence Thomas.
I think it may have been one of those things where Bob Fosse was the guy who directed the film.
Yeah, right.
And I think he wanted to get somebody, to get an attorney for that part rather than a primary actor.
Well, I will check that one out, King David.
There's also a brief story, and I don't know how much time we have before the break.
About a minute.
Okay. His
20 seconds, actually.
Pardon?
20 seconds, actually.
Only 20 seconds?
Only 20. Why? What you got?
Because there was something concerning his Carnegie Hall concert that I wanted to mention to you. And it requires a little bit of setup.
Well, how much time do you need?
Probably about a minute and a half.
We'll try to give it to you. Hold on. We'll come back right after the break.
With little straps, like spaghetti, it holds me so tight, like handcuffs at night, walking around in women's underwear.
In the office, there's a guy named Melvin. He pretends that I am Murphy Brown.
He'll say, "Are you ready?" We'll say, "Whoa, man, let's wait until the wife is out of town."
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Renee Scarponi, Affiliate Relations Specialist for IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
states are moving ahead on energy reform, and Minnesota is one of the leaders. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Critics say the federal government has done little to promote solar, wind, and other renewable energy sources, but a number of states are making progress. Minnesota is a leading example, according to David Morris of the nonprofit Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis.
Minnesota gets 10% of its transportation fuel from inside of Minnesota from crops.
That renewable fuel is ethanol, and Morris says most of it comes from farmer-owned cooperatives, so the state's farm economy benefits from the cleaner-burning fuel. Minnesota has also passed what's called a renewable portfolio standard. It requires electric utilities to produce a growing share of their power from renewable sources such as wind.
And we have established a renewable portfolio standard, so we expect to double and triple the amount of wind-generated electricity that will be coming out of the western part of Minnesota in the next couple of years. And we have passed incentives such that we encourage local ownership.
Morris says farmers don't just lease part of their land to the utilities like they do in most other states.
In Minnesota, those farmers are owning those wind turbines, and they're getting twice as much because they're owning it, and after 10 years when the system is paid off, they will get 25 times as much in terms of revenue.
Morris credits Minnesota for being a leader on renewable energy, but he says there's lots more to do. His organization is pushing for tax incentives to boost cleaner cars, greener buildings, and other ways to cut energy waste and promote renewable sources. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalogical super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like, from Eight is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Good to see Santa. Santa, I can assure you it's a lot easier on a flying sled than it is on Air Force One.
Six before the hour. In just a minute, we'll have a trivia question for you. First correct answer wins an autographed copy of Hillary Clinton's Living History, courtesy of our Baltimore, Maryland bureau chief, Billy Shears. And plus, we're going to have Bush's Chanukah, that's how he pronounces it, Hanukkah, Chanukah message, a reading from Luke, which I do every year that I've been on the air, a special announcement that we've been promising you, and couple more song parodies that are just bizarre. You got to stick around. Right now we're talking with King David, our Woodstock Nation bureau chief. By the way, David.
Yeah.
During the break, Richard did some quick research. The Clarence Thomas that was in that movie, he was making movies in 1997. He was in Rosewood. In 1993, he was in Scam. In He does movies in Italy. So it's a wrong clearance, Thomas.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I stand corrected.
Well, I've got this the fastest, sharpest audience in talk radio, and
yes, you do.
Man, as a matter of fact, you're one of those people. I mean,
except in this instance.
Well, we all check on each other. We can put something out there, and somebody will verify it or knock it to pieces within 5 or 10 minutes, and it's great. I love that kind of rapid response. Now, back to...
By the way, Santa better hope that Bush doesn't ask what's in that pipe that he's smoking.
That's very true. That's very true. Because we all know what Santa smokes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My
especially
God.
In a pipe like that.
Ho, 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 my ass. We know what's in that pipe.
That ain't
right?
No Dr. Green.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Oh, ho, ho, hey, Kenny's here. Try a little bit of this. Oh, God. Merry Christmas. Now, where were we?
In any event, what I was going to say about Lenny Bruce.
Right.
If somebody has yet to hear a full-fledged performance of Lenny's, the album to get a hold of is called Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall.
It's of a full-length concert, a couple of hours, recorded at Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, there's a very special bit about the show. It was recorded at midnight on the 5th of February, 1961,
mm-hmm.
the weekend of the big blizzard of 61.
Ah.
The snow drifts on the Brill Building on Broadway were 4 and 5 stories high.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much snow that the audience had to go through in order to get to Carnegie Hall for that night.
Right.
And Lenny does a bit about having to go through that himself. But one of the first things that he says about that particular show, he says, making brief pointing to the outside
mm-hmm.
and that this is a midnight show. He says the words, "What if the people who own this place don't even know we're here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a good corrupt janitor coming in and
right.
don't make a mess and lock up after you go. One of those kind of things."
Right.
Now the thing is that if there's two people that I know who can relate to the phrase, "What if the people who own this place don't even know we're here?" It's got to be you and Kathy.
I know. That's very true. Oh, my God, that's so true. That is so true.
Okay, survive the week.
All right, thanks, David.
All right,
sir, and happy holiday to you. That's true about us, isn't it, Kathy? This program is so subversive, for the 40 people who tune in. It's just, all right, let's do this. We want to give away this book. It's autographed by Hillary Clinton. Even has a sticker on the front that says autographed copy. Billy Shears, our Baltimore, Maryland bureau chief, got this for us and fired it off to the home office here. He trudged through a massive snowstorm, icicles dripping off his long gray beard, to get this to us, because he likes our program, and because he's a bureau chief. This is what bureau chiefs are supposed to do, and among other things. So we are going to give this copy, autographed by Hillary Rodham Clinton, away now. And matter of fact, we will pay the postage. Right, Kathy? Can we afford it? We're going to soon be unemployed. We can afford it. Okay. We will send it. We will pay the postage. Billy Shears went and bought it. Who issued the following two statements? Who said this? Two statements. Here we go. "The difference between Los Angeles and yogurt is that yogurt comes with less fruit. Secondly, feminism was established to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream. Was it A, Rush Limbaugh, B, Michael Savage, C, Karl Rove?" One more time. Who said the following two statements? "The difference between Los Angeles and yogurt is that yogurt comes with less fruit." And, "Feminism was established to allow unattractive women easier access to the mainstream." Was it A, Rush Limbaugh, B, Michael Savage, C, Karl Rove? We will now wait for your answer. Do, 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 do. Now, while we are waiting for Kathy to come up with a winner, a couple more here from Norman Solomon of the PU Lit Surprises for 2003. We've already given you one, two, three, four. There's only eight. Here's the fifth one. The Conservative Times for the Liberal Media Award goes to ABC News. Over the years, ABC correspondent John Stossel became known for one-sided, often inaccurate reporting on behalf of his pro-corporate, greed-is-good ideology. He boasted that his on-air job was to explain the beauties of the free market. He received lecture fees from corporate pressure groups and even spoke on Capitol Hill against consumer protection regulation. In May of this year, when Stossel was promoted to co-anchor of ABC's 2020, a network insider told TV Guide, "These are conservative times. The network wants somebody to match the times." The Coddling Donald Prize, as in Rumsfeld, goes to CBS's Leslie Stahl and ABC's Peter Jennings, and actually a couple others. But on the day news broke about Saddam Hussein's capture, Leslie Stahl and Peter Jennings each interviewed on their respective networks Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. In step with their mainstream media colleagues, both failed to ask about Rumsfeld's cordial 1983 meeting with Hussein in Baghdad on behalf of the Reagan administration that opened up strong diplomatic and military ties between the U.S. government and the dictator, and that lasted through 7 years of his worst brutality. The Military Groupie Prize goes to Katie Couric of NBC's Today Show. On April 3rd, in the midst of the invasion carnage, Katie Couric said, "Well, Commander Thompson, thanks for talking with us at this very early hour out there, and I just want you to know, I think Navy SEALs rock." God. And the Noblesse Oblige Award, Occupation Award, goes to Thomas Friedman, The New York Times. In a November 30th piece, Times columnist Friedman gushed that, quote, "This war in Iraq is the most important liberal revolutionary U.S. democracy-building project since the Marshall Plan." He lauded the war as one of the noblest things this country has ever attempted abroad. Friedman did not mention the estimated 112 billion barrels of oil in Iraq or the continuous deceptions that led to the noble enterprise. Norman Solomon's P. Ulitzer Prizes for 2003. Catherine, do we have a winner? We have five winners? Oh, line five. You held up five fingers. Robert is calling from New Orleans. Matter of fact, our bureau chief down there. Robert, you have the correct answer?
Rush Limbaugh.
Well, you got it. And you got the book, pal.
That's great. I actually wanted to get that book.
And well, you got it. It'll save you. Let me see. Retail, I don't know what it costs on...
Probably somewhere around $30.
Retail, it was $28, and it is autographed, and it's got a sticker on the front that says autographed copy, but when you get inside on the second fly page, there it is, Hillary Rodham Clinton, and this is courtesy of one of our other bureau chiefs, Robert, Billy Shears, who's our Baltimore, Maryland bureau chief. We shall get this out to you, sir, in the mail, and congratulations.
Well, thanks a lot. Is Billy is his name?
Billy Shears, yeah.
Well, thanks to Billy Shears, and thanks to y'all for giving me a question that I knew the answer to.
Right. Well, you got it.
Actually, you made me nervous when you gave the multiple choice. When you first asked the question, I knew the answer, but then when you gave me the multiple choice, I was saying, actually, it could have been any one of those idiots.
Right. It could have been. Now, that's not why you really called in, though.
No, that's not the real reason why I called in. The real reason why I called in is something, however, that might remind you of Hillary Clinton because of the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that Rush Limbaugh ought to come forward and tell the truth.
Yeah.
Because that's what you heard over and over again during the Monica Lewinsky scandal, except for it was Bill Clinton was supposed to come forward and tell the truth. Well, now Rush Limbaugh ought to come forward and tell the truth. Not that he ever has, and not that he ever will.
Right.
But I think we all ought to start urging that he comes forward and tell the truth.
Well, you know, something else I think ought to happen now that Limbaugh has I was going to use a colloquial phrase. I better not. Now that he has himself in a jam, very serious jam, since Rush Limbaugh and all these right-wingers, Mike Savage, all these people, they have always wanted to see Bill Clinton's privates. It's something that has motivated them. It's something that every Republican, every neoconservative has wanted to see because, Bill Clinton has his reputation of being this astonishing player, and they've all wanted to see his private. So I think that Limbaugh ought to produce his and Bill Clinton produce his, and let's just get the facts out there, so to speak.
Which of the two has the bigger cojones here, you know?
Well, that's true. I just think both should drop trial and just everybody check it out, and we'll see what's going on here, and that'll be settled for once and for all, and then the Republicans get back to what they normally do the best, and that is destroy the country.
Yeah, Mike, whatever happened to the party of personal responsibility? Don't they go around preaching this stuff? I mean, Bill Janklow crying because he got convicted of murdering somebody.
Well, yeah, and he's asking the court to acquit him and vacate the jury's verdict. I mean, it's insane. Rush Limbaugh is blaming Democrats.
Weren't they the ones outraged because the court did that in Massachusetts for Louise Woodward?
Well, of course. But, you see, Republicans have never been the party of taking responsibility. That has been their rap and their rhetoric. But Republicans are sneaks, liars, thieves, weasels, and they support mass murders, not to mention the fact that they all dress like hell. None of them dress properly. You forget raving hypocrite. Yeah, that's it.
And the thing that gets me is that you got Bill Janklow murdering somebody. You got Rush Limbaugh, his drug-addled brain. You've got George Bush running drunk driving, and you've got, you know, because you mentioned mad cow disease at the beginning of the program, and the first thing I thought of, well, oh my God, did they let Laura Bush back out on the highway? Because the big heifer she is, that would be a mad cow if she got behind the wheel. Didn't she kill somebody with a car?
Yes, she did.
Yeah, I mean, they're lunatics over there.
Yes, they are.
They're crazy. You know what? I haven't heard you say today. And I'm going to say it for you. I hate these people.
Well, in keeping in the spirit of Christmas, I was trying to avoid it, but I appreciate the fact that you did it for me.
I'm sorry. Christmas, Schmishmas. When I think of Republicans, I can't help but get enraged.
I hear that. Hey, listen, did you give Kathy your mailing address?
Yes, I did.
All right, good. We will send you the book, and we'll try to make sure that the Department of Homeland Security does not get your address, because they'd probably like to talk to you, Robert.
I will be patriot-acted if they do.
You will indeed. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, Merry Christmas to you, Robert.
All right, Merry Christmas to you.
All right. And thanks to Billy Shears for sending that to us. Reverend Debut of the Universal Life Church, said, "Hey, Mike, I was looking over some documents relating to the Homeland Security Awareness System, the color-coded alert thing, and found an official document suggesting some suspicious activities which should be reported to the government. You ready for this, truth seeker? Multiple sightings of the same suspicious person, vehicle, or activity separated by time, distance, or direction. Individuals who stay at bus stops for extended periods while buses come and go. Individuals who carry on long conversations on pay or cellular telephones. Individuals who order food at a restaurant and leave before the food arrives, or who order without eating. Individuals sitting in a parked car for an extended period of time. Hell, in my neighborhood as a kid growing up, that's what everybody sat out in their car. Everybody went out in the car, sat out there and drank beer, smoked cigarettes. Oh, my God. Joggers who stand or stretch for an inordinate amount of time. Individuals who don't fit into the surrounding environment because they are wearing inappropriate attire for the location or season. Individuals drawing pictures or taking notes in an area not normally of interest to a tourist, or showing unusual interest in or photographing security cameras, guard locations, or watching security drills and procedures. And individuals who exhibit suspicious behavior such as staring or quickly looking away from individuals or vehicles as they enter or leave facilities or parking areas. Oh, my God.
Police, stop my car. The police may me stop. Walk the straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police may me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police may me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always pull me over Christmas.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant Maximum strikes my lines, a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. My Lanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength My Lanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Okay, here we go. That comic book show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, that comic book show.
Hi, Steve. I mean Schroeder. Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up? Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Show.
In an interview with the Associated Press, Kennedy said the case for going to war against Iraq was a fraud made up in Texas to give Republicans a political boost, and the money for the war is being used to bribe foreign leaders to send troops. Well, Tom DeLay, the bug man. He reminds me so much of Dennis Hopper's character in Blue Velvet. Remember Frank Booth? What was he sucking? What was that, nitrous oxide? That's what DeLay reminds me of. Only DeLay wouldn't be doing nitrous oxide. DeLay would be doing one of those weird bug-killing chemicals, like parathion. You know, it's my understanding that stuff gets you real high right before it kills you.
That's the lowest thing I've ever heard. The lowest thing I've ever heard coming out of Kennedy's mouth.
This is the Frank Booth character from David Lynch's Blue Velvet. There's no question about that, True Seekers.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so
Flying Monkey Ride Blues. Here's the cure. Mike Malloy.
Decorations are red on a green Christmas tree. Won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. And when the
you know, I like Elvis, but that has got to be the worst Christmas carol ever recorded. Actually, it's not. We have, for you, the worst recorded Christmas carol in the history of everything, I guess. And we're going to play it for you after the break coming next hour. We will play it in the first segment. It was sent to us by the Armstrongs. Thinking about it makes me laugh. It is a rendition of, what is it, O Holy Night? And it runs 3 minutes and 33 seconds, and right after the break at the top of the hour, we will be playing that. And I think also we're going to be playing Nick's song again. Here is Nick from Warsaw, Ohio. Did you hear your song set to music?
Yeah, actually I've been listening intermittently because I've got bad reception with my satellite tonight. It's snowing.
Oh.
And, yeah, you guys just blew my mind.
Was that something or what?
Yeah, Mark Marshall, huh? That guy really did a great job.
Oh, he's great.
Because I know I wasn't keeping rhythm or anything. He must have had to slow me down and speed me up at different places there. That was great.
Yeah, Mark is a cyber genius, not to mention the fact that he's also a very accomplished musician. He's played clubs around New York, right, Kathy? In New York State, New York City. Plus he does electronic music. So he's quite good at what he does, and we're real thankful to have him as our webmaster. But we thought you would get a kick out of that. He called us... when was it, Kathy? Yesterday, and he sent us an MP3, and he said, listen to this, tell me what you think. And we listened to it and went, damn! That was pretty... We're going to play...
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, we're going to try to squeeze yours in again after this break.
Oh, okay. I got a new one if you want to hear it.
Go ahead.
Okay.
We don't have time right now.
No,
wait till we come back. I'll put you on hold. We'll come back and pick it up after the break. Plus, we have some more good stuff coming. Stay with us, Truth Seekers. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Former Illinois Governor George Ryan pleaded not guilty on Tuesday to corruption charges stemming from what prosecutors say was a lengthy pattern of using public office to enrich himself, family, and associates. The 69-year-old Republican entered pleas in response to a 22-count indictment during a brief appearance in federal court. Ryan allegedly received cash payments, gifts, vacation, and personal services while serving both as Secretary of State and Governor from 1991 until early 2003. Ralph Nader, the third-party candidate viewed by many Democrats as the spoiler of the 2000 election, has decided not to run on the Green Party ticket next year, a party spokesman said Tuesday. Nader, who garnered nearly 3% of the national vote in the last presidential election, has not ruled out running for president as an independent and plans to make a decision by January. Nader called party officials Monday to inform them of his decision. His reasons were not clear, according to a spokesman. Nader could not be reached Tuesday. A Nader spokeswoman said he was not immediately available for comment. Aftershocks rattled Central California Tuesday as crews tallied damage from a magnitude 6.5 earthquake that killed two people, injured dozens, and badly damaged the business district of the town of Paso Robles. Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger toured the town, where both fatalities occurred when a historic clock tower collapsed, and declared a state of emergency in San Luis Obispo County. Prosecutors may examine Rush Limbaugh's medical records to determine whether he should be charged with doctor shopping for prescription painkillers, a judge ruled Tuesday. Limbaugh accused prosecutors of going after him for political reasons. Palm Beach Circuit Judge Jeffrey A. Winnikoff denied the conservative commentator's request to keep the records sealed, but did say prosecutors cannot make the records public. Limbaugh's attorney promised a prompt appeal. More IE America Network news after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Christmas just isn't the same for this small eastern Connecticut town that was once set aglow during the holidays by one man and his spirit. Mervyn Whipple, known as Mr. Christmas to the people of Killingly, has decided to pull the plug on his brilliant, gigantic holiday light display. There will be no lights this year. Partly it was the pricey bills, but mostly there isn't enough Christmas spirit, the once jolly Whipple said. Whipple had threatened to close down the display in recent years, but now he says it's official. Whipple's Christmas Wonderland is no more. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette.
reveal the goddess in you.
There's bad news and good news on the electronic voting machine front. Let's get the bad news out of the way first. Yet another study has found that these touchscreen machines are loaded with security flaws that open our elections to fraudulent manipulation, either by the owners and programmers of the machines or by partisan hackers. The state of Ohio commissioned a study of the vote-tallying computers of the four biggest corporations in this new and rapidly expanding industry, and the researchers found not one or two problems, but 57. Among the little hiccups was the discovery that the computers could be tricked to count the votes of any particular machine many times over, thus perverting the election. Another found that outsiders could hack into the system on election day and close down selected machines. People would still be voting on these machines, but their votes would not get counted. Ready for a little good news? Let's hear it for California Secretary of State Kevin Shelley. Based on the findings of a public task force, he has now decided that all electronic voting machines used in his state must print out a paper receipt, verifying the ballot of every voter and creating a paper trail that election officials can review if a recount is called. Instead of having to trust the manipulative world of corporate-owned cyberspace, Californians will have their votes counted in real space. The only hickey on Shelley's decision is that he postpones implementation to the 2006 election. Why not next year, when we're electing a president? The paper technology already exists, so let's do it now. Still, his move is a huge step toward voting integrity, and other states will likely follow suit. This is Jim Hightower saying, meanwhile, the national bill to require a paper trail by next year's election, H.R. 2239, now has 82 co-sponsors, including three top Republicans. To help pass it, contact this website, verifiedvoting.org.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Eight past the hour. I like Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They have that minor key thing. Of course, most of this music is minor key stuff, but it has such a Nightmare Before Christmas kind of feel, which very much appeals to me. All right, we're talking with Nick in Warsaw, Ohio, who sang us a song a cappella, and our webmaster put it to music. And you have another one. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm back here.
Okay, let's hear the other one, Nick.
Okay, this is sung to the tune of Here Comes Santa Claus.
Here Comes Santa Claus,
yeah.
A la Nick from Warsaw, Ohio, where it is snowing.
Yes.
All right.
Here comes Wolfowitz, here comes Wolfowitz, all his policies bring destruction and shock and awe to Iraqi families. Bombs are falling, babes are bawling, bloody bodies ignite.
Oh,
hear your children cry, kiss your Escobar, Wolfowitz comes tonight.
Oh,
here comes Wolfowitz, here comes Wolfowitz, all through the Mideast, waging wars with countries who can defend themselves the least. Level the cities without pity and send in the army to smite those who huddle in the rubble. Wolfowitz comes tonight. Here comes Wolfowitz, here comes Wolfowitz, better dig a hole. Severed heads and body parts are bouncing off the wall. Our troops ain't slacking cause they're packing depleted uranium rounds that cause mutations for generations since Wolfowitz came to town. Here comes Wolfowitz, here comes Wolfowitz, hear his victims howl. Tomahawk missiles and cluster bombs are tearing out their bowels. If you survive and you're alive but saw your family cut down, you might have a mind to join Al-Qaeda since Wolfowitz came to town.
Oh, God. Oh, you are a very disturbed man.
I know.
You know that. I love it, Nick.
Yeah, my wife tells me that all the time.
Oh, my God. That is just... I can just see our webmaster, Mark, right now, listening on the headphones, just pacing, thinking to himself, Jesus, I got to set that one to music. That is... You just sit down and write this stuff, huh?
Well, yeah, like I said, this is just something I do to kind of stay sane, keep things in perspective.
Is there a lot going on in Warsaw, Ohio?
Not a lot.
No?
Just a bottle of red and, you know, that's it.
You know, you told me probably once, and I've forgotten, where is Warsaw? I'm from Toledo. Where is Warsaw?
Warsaw is near the center of the state,
yeah.
By Coshocton.
Oh, okay. All
yeah.
Right. All right. That's...
We're a little rural town.
Yeah.
Corn country.
Well, it's just amazing to find a talent like yours in Warsaw, Ohio, in corn country in the middle of Ohio. I'm just totally blown away. Totally blown away. And I appreciate your contributions here.
Well, thank you for being on the air. You're going to be on the air, I hope.
Well, I hope. We're going to be off starting tomorrow for 9 days. We'll be back January 2nd. I'm getting the last week of paid vacation I can get out of this company. I think... as far as I know, we'll be back January 2nd, regular time, but the ball game's over February 27th unless something happens. That's what we've been told. February 27th, we all start applying for unemployment compensation. So we'll see what happens.
Well, good luck to you and Kathy.
Thank you, sir. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah.
All right, sir. Take care. That guy's good, Kathy. He's so good at scary. In Warsaw, Ohio. All right, we want to do Holy Night here. This is now the first couple of notes sound a little warped, but that's just the way it came to us in MP3. It's just hang in there because this is it straightens right out and flows into a very beautiful Christmas song. So, and this was sent to us by the Armstrongs. John and Peggy, and John and Peggy, this is just a wonderful thing you've done here. We are very humbled by the fact that you sent this to us. So without further ado, O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shine. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pine till he appeared. And the soul bells, it's what a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Oh,
was born.
Reminds me of Bill Murray's SNL Lounge Lizard character. Remember the classic Star Wars song he sang? Thanks to John and Peggy. God, for sending that one in. You imagine now people listening on Sirius 145, the satellite channel, and never heard this program before, and they happen to switch around and they get the beginning of that, and they think, oh, A Christmas Carol. You know, they're going home for the holidays or whatever, and they start listening, and this thing keeps going. Whew. Now, we still have Bush's remarks to assembled Jewish folk, where he graciously tolerates their rude refusal to celebrate Christ's birth after having gone and murdered him. So we'll have that coming up in a moment. That's Bush's Chinooka message. We also have a reading from Luke. We still have our special announcement, and we're gonna do Nick from Warsaw's song again too. I think at some point here, and we're trying to get Doc sent me something here, a little sermonette from Jim Wallace that I want to get to. We just have too much to do here. We really do, but we'll get through it. One of our trucker buddies, Kim, is calling, listening online tonight, driving in Baltimore. Hey, I'm listening on Sirius. Hey, Kim.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Hey, it's going fine, pal. How are you?
Pretty good. I'll tell you what, whoever sang that song last, you know, don't give up your day job.
No kidding.
number one, you know, I've listened to you many a night.
Yeah?
And I hate to, I'm going to, you know, chew you out a little bit.
All right.
Unless you have done something personally for which you should be ashamed.
Yeah.
Do not say you're ashamed to be an American.
Well, all right.
Now, hear me through.
Okay.
We have certain people in our government right now.
Yeah.
They are doing things for which they should be ashamed.
That's true.
We have a right to say we are ashamed that they profess to be Americans.
Yeah. All right.
But I'm not ashamed to be an American. I'm ashamed they are.
All right, well, that makes more sense, I guess, Kim.
You know, see? And I'm going to see through logically.
Yeah.
You know, and another thing is, you know, the more we listen to these debates and how now we're infighting, we're tearing each other apart, we're giving, how should I put it, ammunition to the communists
who's
against us in the general election.
Yeah.
I understand more and more why Al Gore came out and said,
mm-hmm.
might say, now's the time to join ranks behind one man.
Yeah, I think so. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that.
You know, another thing, I don't know if I mentioned talked to you before about this, but I'm sick and tired of hearing these Republicans, the hired hacks,
mm-hmm.
accuse Dean of being, quote, a coward.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because I went through that system.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you something. I went out after, and I failed because of my back.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Kim. We got to take a quick break here. We'll come back and pick you up right after this break.
You showed me that I am a man. Pal, it's Christmas time for my Venus.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Tom Hartman Show.
Gizmo's back on the line in Tucson, Arizona.
First off, I'd like to tell you I'm on Sirius Radio 145 Left, and say hi to my other trucker buddies out there that listen to you, Kodiak and James. And
really?
I pulled this 18-wheel car over to the side of the road to speak with you. I've read a couple articles that suggested that Bush Sr., had he gotten a second term, would have followed pretty much the same lines to go to war with Iraq. I'm wondering if there wasn't some kind of conspiracy all the way back to the 2000 election to get Jr. in so he could go ahead and fulfill the plans designed for their father in his second term. I enjoy your program. You're very informative, and I've learned a lot from listening to you, and I appreciate your program, Tom, so keep it up.
Well, thank you, Gizmo. That's very kind of you, and thanks for pulling the 18-wheeler off to the side. I didn't realize you were driving a truck. That's remarkable.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Getting stuff is much more fun. You've got the count for number one. Oh, Christmas.
a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
The only thing I get are ties and socks. My kids are never happy with what's under the tree. Soon they'll understand Christmas sucks. Whoa, every freaking year Christmas sucks. Christmas sucks. Christmas.
Where are you getting these songs?
Christmas. Hey, hey.
25 past the hour.
Ow!
We're talking with one of our over-the-road truckers, Kim, near Baltimore. Go ahead, Kim. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah. See, I went through the same system.
Right.
And I was turned down by the doctor, and believe me, when you come from a family of everybody serving in the military,
yeah,
you know, you're more afraid of going home to your parents and your brothers and sisters and cousins than you are of the government and of a bullet.
Right.
But the doctor explained to me. He said, son, remember one thing. He said, I got two questions I have to answer. How long can you march, and how many 20-mile marches can you handle with 50 to 75-pound backpacks on you before your back breaks down, and then the government either A, has to pay for the operation, or you turn around and you're out in the middle of a field, and you are now a danger to your fellow soldiers.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely.
And like all young fellas, I went home, I bowled, I went skiing, I went water skiing. I will not jump out of a perfectly good airplane. That's the only thing I did it once, and I'll never do it again.
Well, your point is well taken that for these Republican chicken hawks to be getting on Dean because he was told he had back trouble and then went skiing. Absolutely.
My thing to them, when they call him cowardly,
yeah,
they sound like men of experience.
Yeah. You got that right. Kim, Merry Christmas to you, and drive safely, sir.
And may you and your family have a good one, and may you not have to start looking for... You know, the pink slips. By the way, how come Soros isn't investing in this thing?
I have no idea.
That guy from Chicago that Nancy Skinner knows.
Yeah, they were in it for a while, but they got out, and there's a different group now. We'll see what happens. Keep your fingers crossed, buddy.
Hey, man, we need you guys.
All right, Kim, thank you, sir.
Have a good holiday and be in a safe one.
Thank you, sir. You too. You're the one out there on the road. Our webmaster, Mark Marshall, will tell us Nick's latest song. Wolf of Wits is coming to town. We'll be in the gallery at MikeMalloy.com later on tonight. How about that, huh? Wow. Lawrence is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Hey, Lawrence.
I recognize who that was doing that Christmas song.
The bad Holy Night?
It was your man, Brother Sky Blue, but he was doing window pane, and it was just starting to kick in about halfway through.
Yeah, well, you could tell, couldn't
when
you?
He saw the spiders coming out of his arms and all that, and he's trying to shake them off, and you know, he's getting all afraid because the spiders are getting bigger, and
that's
their
right.
Eyes are like turning various colors.
That's right.
And so he's like, great. And he's losing it because he's afraid all these spiders coming out of his arms and legs are getting ready to bite him.
I know.
So that's what it is. It's your man, Brother Sky Blue. You just caught him on a night that he did some bad acid.
Bad acid, yeah, yeah. I think you're right, Lawrence.
And so that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
And on behalf of all of us, you know, fundamentalist right-wing Christians that are listening,
yeah,
I'm serious on this to you. We're going to include you and her in our prayers that this thing keeps going and that y'all make a lot of money so y'all can get out there. I mean, you're the only people out there that provide any real competition for us, you know, so we need
yeah,
you
yeah, well,
to
we're,
keep us on our toes.
We got the home team here. Trust me on that. Thanks, Lawrence.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, sir. We appreciate it. All right. Coming back, Mike Malloy's reading of the Christmas story. According to St. Luke, and also Bush's Chanukah message to Jewish people, and our special announcement. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Because no one's ever caught one in his home. They're never really seen, but that doesn't mean that they make believe. The team seen.
Hey, what's
with yourself
in your big freak?
All you need is girls. All you need is girls.
We're too short for Faith Mountain.
Are all you need. Elves are all you need. No
in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
States are moving ahead on energy reform, and Minnesota is one of the leaders. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Critics say the federal government has done little to promote solar, wind, and other renewable energy sources, but a number of states are making progress. Minnesota is a leading example, according to David Morris of the nonprofit Institute for Local Self-Reliance in Minneapolis.
Minnesota gets 10% of its transportation fuel from inside of Minnesota from crops.
That renewable fuel is ethanol, and Morris says most of it comes from farmer-owned cooperatives, so the state's farm economy benefits from the cleaner-burning fuel. Minnesota has also passed what's called a renewable portfolio standard. It requires electric utilities to produce a growing share of their power from renewable sources such as wind.
And we have established a renewable portfolio standard, so we expect to double and triple the amount of wind-generated electricity that will be coming out of the western part of Minnesota in the next couple of years. And we have passed incentives such that we encourage local ownership.
Morris says farmers don't just lease part of their land to the utilities like they do in most other states.
In Minnesota, those farmers are owning those wind turbines, and they're getting twice as much because they're owning it, and after 10 years when the system is paid off, they will get 25 times as much in terms of revenue.
Morris credits Minnesota for being a leader on renewable energy, but he says there's lots more to do. His organization is pushing for tax incentives to boost cleaner cars, greener buildings, and other ways to cut energy waste and promote renewable sources. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Making the pie higher so that fish and humans can coexist peacefully. It's Mike Malloy.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Is that Gene Autry?
He doesn't
Is
care
it?
If you're rich or poor, he loves you just the same.
Yeah.
Santa Claus knows we're all God's children.
All right, that's scary. That goes back to my childhood in the late 40s. That's scary. He always scared the hell out of me anyway, Gene Autry, with that weird-looking hat. You know, what was under that hat? Ah. All right. As is tradition here in the Malloy family, since I started in radio way back 18 years ago when my son Chris was 6 years old, we did a Christmas Eve show. I don't know why. It was the first radio station I worked at, and I wasn't being paid. I just did it for free. And I was a single parent at the time, and couldn't get a babysitter that night because it was Christmas Eve. So I took Chris into the studio with me. I put him on my lap, and at one point in the program, I did night before Christmas, and then we flipped open the King James Bible and went to St. Luke's, and we did the Christmas story as recorded there. And it's kind of stuck with me over the years. Before I begin, Robin in Victor, West Virginia, emailed in to me, meanwhile, it bears remembering as you revisit the account from St. Luke that Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, most likely spoke Aramaic instead of Hebrew, was treated as an outcast, and was ultimately killed by the powers that be. He was, in short, a Palestinian. Pax vobiscum. Robin. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary, and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. ¶¶ Good story. Good story. And she's got type on the screen. Speaking of miracle births, time for announcement. We ought to name this kid Justin, as in just in time. For those of you who don't know, I've given enough clues. I'm 61 years old. I'll be 62 next August. Next August is when Kathy and I will be giving birth to a new baby, either a boy or a girl. We don't know the sex yet, but on the same day that we found out that we were going to lose our job, we also got a positive pregnancy test. Now, Kathy is considerably younger than I am. This will be her first child, and I only need three more for a baseball team. Tell me you're gonna play this. This is a pro-abortion song, isn't it? Oh, my God. You told me you were going to play something to accompany the announcement. I didn't know you were going to play Paul Anka's Having My Baby. Well, open your mic and tell people how you feel about this. We are, what, we're about 6-7 weeks pregnant now?
I feel nauseous about it. I'm 8 weeks Thursday.
8 weeks.
So I know it's still early to tell people, but we thought we might. Ought to tell people.
Because we might not be back on this.
We still could tell people.
Right, while we still could.
So I feel really excited about it. I mean, for those of us who know us intimately, know that we've been trying for years and years and years. And had we known how hard it would be, we would have started before I was 30. So
You'll never see 30 again.
No. I'll probably never see my toes again either after the way I've been eating.
Well, trying to have a baby is probably one of the more fun things that you try to do. You know, we stuck with the natural way of trying it, but it got to be kind of interesting there when Kathy was keeping track of her temperature and. Ovulation, and I felt like a Catholic. I felt so Catholic. It was just like, oh my God, I've become a Catholic. But every time the temperature would dip, Kathy would say, Mike, come here, quick. Right, that's right. I just had that major surgery, and you all thought I was out for a week because, no, I was. I was in agony. Mike, come here. Guess what, honey? Come on, let's do it. Now that's bad enough if you're 31, but when you're 61,
Grandpa Daddy,
Mac. Now we are a Southern family. I've been here in the South for 40 years. Kathy was born here, and of my children, three of them were born in the South. Of my grandchildren, two of them were born in the South. But we are a typical Southern family because in this instance. This baby will have nieces and nephews older than it. No, is that no? Yeah, it'll have nieces and nephews older than it. And that is so Southern. And also, Kathy has said that when this child is born, it will refer to me, he or she will refer to me as Grandpa Daddy.
Or as I like to refer to it, you'll reach across the table and say, you gonna finish those peas?
Those mashed up peas. Baby, give me them peas.
honey, you need to buy two sizes of diapers now.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty weird, but on the other hand, what the hell. So that was our announcement. And the irony, of course, the resounding irony for both of us is the fact that we found out pregnancy was confirmed. Just about the same day that it was also confirmed that we were both of us losing our jobs on the same day. Ow! And so for all the folks who figured it out and emailed us, congratulations, thanks. I appreciate that. All right. If we got, I don't know that I have time to do Bush. I don't know that I do. This is fairly lengthy. This is the president's remarks to assembled Jewish folk graciously tolerating their rude refusal to celebrate Christ's birth after having gone and murdered him. Statement of the president. Thank you. You may be seated. Me and Laura want to welcome all you Hebrew-talking folk to the White House. You know, since Ari Fleischer left, the closest we've come to having any Jew-Safarians around here is when John Ashcroft gets to belting out Fiddler on the Roof tunes while doing his business in the little boys' room. you ought to hear him sometime. While he sings so much like Little Angel, you just can't help but wonder whether or not the good Lord Dunnan made America's top cop a bona fide soprano gelding. Anyhow, I've asked the photographers here this evening because I'm told you all are smack dab in the middle of Chanukah, which officials in the White House Department of Faith tell me is just a fancy Hebrewish word for celebrate the murder of Christ. In any case, you folks still have the right to practice your peculiar faith here in America, and I'm bound to respect that, even though it strikes me as a bit odd that I'm up here lighting this menorah thing when Christians are not yet free to ignite crosses in Israel. But that day will come. Oh, yes, indeed. And so, my hairy sideburn friends, the only who only follow the first half of the Bible, I'm glad and thankful that the holiday you invented is giving you something to keep you busy, while all the real Americans who aren't going to get their unbelieving non-Christian butts fried in hell are doing their part to toady up to the man you murdered nearly 2,000 years ago. Right? You know, Bible-believing folk like myself, while spiritually revolted by your continued failure to listen to common sense, nevertheless accept that it is every fundamentalist Christian self-interest to see that you live long enough for Jesus to swoop down from his cloud-dwelling home in the sky and exterminate your entire race as payback for what you did to him. The Bible tells us in Matthew, so it shall be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That furnace of fire part might be politically incorrect and make some of you folks feel a bit queasy, but I'm afraid those are God's promises and my religious beliefs, and I should respect them even as I feign respect for your beliefs. Thank you. Friends, that's why today my administration sets aside, however momentarily, our absolute glee in having the Lord's assurance that every last Israeloid who doesn't renounce their false religion and embrace ours is going to burn like a never-melting candle of sizzling flesh forever tortured in a bubbling lake of red-hot lava. Now, I don't want to preach, but this is the eve of my Savior's birthday, and I feel spiritually inclined to use this sensitive time to proselytize. I'm no Franklin Graham, but I'll do my best. My dreidel-spinning friends, you can avoid an eternity of being burned alive over and over again by making sure your name is written on God's A-list, the Book of Life, and the only way to get on that A-list is to sell your soul to Jesus Christ. And so tonight, as we prepare to light the silly candles on this thing that look like one of Liberace's candelabras, and in particular, 10 deference to you people who without Jesus in your lives are nothing, I ask each and every one of you to bow your heads and with me and pray along. And dear Lord Jesus, I'm sorry that my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa killed your son 2,000 years ago. That same sinful blood is running through my veins today, and I ask you forgive me. I know it's too late for all my ancestors who are burning in hell right now for picking the wrong religion to come into my life and save me. And I believe that you are the Messiah that was promised to the Jewish people, and we were just too plain stupid to see it at the time. I'm taking a stand tonight. I ask you to forgive me my sins, God, and I accept you as my Lord and personal Savior. I promise to take this silly cotton cap off my head and get my good-for-nothing self into a Bible-believing church next Sunday where I will make a public profession of faith and get myself baptized. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Mr. President, for leading me to Christ on my false holiday, Chanukah, which I will no longer celebrate, and amen. And now let all Christians who have the boldness to speak out the truth on false holidays and pray that we can reconcile our fervent desire to proselytize and convert with the need to keep enough people practicing false religions that will never be eligible for taxpayer disbursements from the Department of Faith-Based Living. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to all, and happy birthday, baby Jesus.
The air gets cold. There's a tale about Christmas that you've all been told.
on this cold.
Oh, here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to colacecapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Hi, this is Suzanne Cowardy.
I'm El Bracciacci, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey. This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshire.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have a
happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
I want everyone to listen up and understand clearly. We need some good weekday programming ideas. I don't know why no one is writing this down.
Oh, geez. Oops.
We need some good weekday programming ideas that will appeal to all angles and opinions of all listeners. Any ideas? Johnson.
Oh, you said the wrong name.
It's Jameson, sir.
Jackson, Johnson, Jasper, whatever.
Maybe we can pick up Limbaugh and convince him to move more to the middle.
That's good. Get out of my office. Yeah, get out. Jeez. You're an idiot.
Sure.
Spicoli.
It's Smith, sir.
Yeah. Give me something good.
Why don't we just have some shows that will appeal to everyone's opinion? It'll make the listener base more diverse and make for a good show.
A talk show that everyone will listen to because their opinions will be supported by other listeners and welcomed by the show host. That's brilliant. Good job, Swanson.
You're on the ball.
Everyone take this next holiday off.
Wait, someone has to work. Doug Steffen's live.
Come on.
The
best in progressive talk radio, weekdays, on the only progressive talk radio network there is, i.e. America Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves, and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Thank you.
right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
We'll try to squeeze in one more call here, but just wanted to mention the program was engineered tonight in Detroit by Charlotte Jones, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. He'll have the audio, by the way, of Nick from Warsaw, Ohio's latest Christmas parody in the gallery later tonight at MikeMalloy.com. Jim in Arkansas, many thanks to our music bureau chief for helping us make this program sound so good. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Thank you, Chris. And all of our bureau chiefs and all of you people who listen to this program, who take the time to tune in when you could be doing something productive with your time, you know, we appreciate it so very much. Kathy and I both. We hope we'll be back Friday, January 2nd. I don't see any reason why we won't. If we're not, check the website, MikeMalloy.com, and we'll tell you what is happening where it concerns getting another gig. This network may be bought by somebody who keeps us on. We just don't know at this point. We do know that as of February 27th, UAW is out of the broadcast business, and that means this network tanks. If somebody steps in and buys it, great. They may and they may not. But again, an awful lot of thanks to the people who, for the past 3 years that we have been associated with UAW and IE America, have made this program what it is. And that means you folks who have tuned in. Thank you so much. Cecilia in Winter Park, Florida, we got a minute.
Hi, Mike. Let me talk fast. Congratulations on your great news.
Thank you.
Many happiness.
Thank
may
you.
I be your Seminole County, Florida Bureau Chief?
Absolutely. I thought you were already. Seminole County, Florida Bureau Chief, Kathy, write it down.
Right. I'm north of Orlando in Seminole County, the right-wing bastion of Central Florida.
Yes, you are.
I just want to say thank you for turning my tears of sorrow into the bells of laughter.
Aww.
You have no idea. My evenings when I'm home revolve around the Mike Malloy Show.
Oh, that's very kind.
So where is George Soros when we need him?
Somebody will show up. We will have a walking, living, breathing angel someplace. Angel in the sense like a Broadway play angel, somebody with bucks. They will tune up.
And one last request. The thing that made me laugh until I cried, I emailed you. You were so gracious in emailing me back. Can we replay the horse therapy show?
We'll do it at some point. Thanks, Cecilia.
I love you, Mike.
Take care.
Happy holidays.
Same to you. See you all Friday, January 2nd.
That marks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to man. Peace on earth.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably a few more years on them.
Well,
yeah, just a few more years.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. On the